do have a thought this morning that the Lord has given us, and have a scripture lesson from 2 Corinthians. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians in the 12th chapter. I'm going to start reading there in the first verse, and it's a passage that's probably somewhat familiar to many of you, but that will give us our setting and our thought this morning. So 2 Corinthians, 12th chapter, starting in the first verse, and Paul writes, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, than the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And that's our reading this morning. I want to look back at that ninth verse where Paul quotes what God, Jesus, said to him in response to his prayer. It says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And that's what I want us to think about this morning. My thought this morning is Christ's strength made perfect. Christ's strength made perfect. And I want us to think this morning, I want each of us to ask ourselves, do we want to see Christ's strength made perfect in this world? Do we want to show forth the perfection of Christ's strength to this lost and dying world? Now, I ask that because the answer is maybe not what we would like it to be. You know, over there in the fifth chapter of Romans, it tells us that tribulation worketh patience. And many of us would like to have more patience in our lives, but do we really want patience? See, because the Scripture tells us what works patience is tribulation. And so we have to understand that if we want the one, we're going to have the other. They come as a matching set, so to speak. The only way for patience to be developed in our life is through tribulation. And that's a hard thing for us to wrap our minds around. But it's something that we have to keep sight of as we go through this life and understand that God has told us those things come together. Now, I'm not going to preach about the tribulations of life this morning, but I want you to see it's like that. And we see here that Paul is telling us, what is it that shows forth Christ's strength? What is it that makes the strength of Christ perfect in this world? Perfect in us, or as that word really literally means mature. How is the strength of Christ matured in us? Because I believe that we would want that as Christians. I hope that we would want that. I want that. But just like patience, sometimes we don't want to pay the cost to get it. You know, there's a lot of things in this world that people want, but they're not willing to do the things that are necessary to get them. You know, we live in a nation where you can, if you want to pursue great riches, you can get a hold of them, but it comes at a cost, hard work, and you have to give up other things and all these things. So we know that if you want to be a great athlete, you're going to have to put in a lot of hours of work. You're going to have to forgo a lot of things. There's a cost. When you would like to be doing this, you need to be practicing. You need to be slaving away at whatever that thing is that you're trying to get better at, right? There's a cost to those things. So we need to understand that what Paul tells us here is that to show forth Christ's strength, to perfect the strength of Christ in our lives, it's going to happen through weakness, through our own personal weakness. And so that's what I want to set before us this morning, because none of us like to think about our own weaknesses, whatever they might be. We would all like to get rid of those weaknesses, whatever they might be in our lives. But it is through that our own weakness that Christ shines forth to the world. That's what Paul is really talking about here. He says in another place, that if I've done anything good, and I'm paraphrasing, he says, if I've done anything good, it's not me, but it's Christ that's in me. He was reminding himself and reminding others that if you see anything good in me, if you see anything that's noble, if you see anything that's worthy of emulating, it's not me, but it's Christ in me. And that same principle is at work here, but not just on the outside or showing out, but working in a place that only we can see, in a place that only Paul could see. And so it's there that we see that what Paul is glorying in, and we're going to talk about that more in a minute, but what matters to Paul is not so much what he has in, what he has accomplished or what the Lord has allowed to him to accomplish, but what he has endured. What he has endured, his weakness that he has endured, because it is upon our weakness, whatever it is in our own lives, it is upon our weakness that God, with His great finger of love and dipped in the blood of Jesus Christ, writes grace across our weakness. And that is how that His grace and His strength shines through, is on the upon the backdrop, if you will, of our own weakness. And without our weakness, His grace does not shine through. It's grace. That's what Paul begins to understand, and that's how God magnifies His grace, is through our weakness. And that's why he can say back there, just leading up to this in the previous chapter, in the 30th verse of the 11th chapter, he says, "If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern mine infirmities." And so it is with that eye that Paul is able to say that I don't glory in any strength that I have, any perceived, my own perception of my strength, or what people might perceive of me, of my strength. And we've all got perceptions of the Apostle Paul, of what, you know, he was a great missionary, and he was a great this, and he was a great that, and all those things are true. And I'm sure there were people in his own day and age that looked and saw great strengths in the Apostle Paul, and he probably looked at himself, and he was aware, he had some perceptions of his own strengths, just as you and I do. you. Just as we know we have weaknesses, we know we have strengths. Now, we like to minimize the weaknesses and build up the strengths, and sometimes we forget about the weaknesses and we want to magnify the strengths, but we're somewhat aware of those things. But Paul says, I don't glory in any strength that I have. If I'm going to glory in anything, it's going to be in my weakness, in my infirmity. And that's kind of the opposite of what the world tells us. But he says, for that reason, because it is in my infirmities that God shows through, that God writes His grace, that His grace can be seen by the world, is in my weakness. And so that's what I'll glory in, is my infirmities. Now, let's look just a little bit at the background of this, what he's writing. And again, this is a letter from start to finish, and so he doesn't really start a new thought here with the 12th chapter. He's continuing on from a thought he has moved to earlier in the 11th chapter. And he was again facing some criticisms. There were people back in the church in Corinth that were against him, and they were magnifying themselves, and they were trying to gather a larger following in that church and among those Christians by playing up how important they were and how close they were to God, and maybe some spiritual experiences that they had, true or perceived or whatever. And so they were really building themselves up, and in the process they were trying to tear down Paul, because Paul had a different presenting himself, and so they were tearing down him. They said, "Well, he doesn't even exercise his apostolic authority, and he's not very mighty of speech." And you know, all these different things that they leveled at the Apostle Paul. And so he addresses that. He begins addressing that a little bit in the 11th chapter. And that's where he says that, backing up to the 21st verse, he says, "I speak as concerning reproach, as though we have been weak, howbeit where in soever any is bold, I speak foolishly. I'm bold also." So here he begins, he says, well, if people wanted to brag about who they are, I could brag a little bit. It's foolish talking to brag about ourselves, but I could brag a little bit. He says, "I'm a Hebrew, an Israelite, I'm a minister of Christ." Then he begins to list off some of the things that he had suffered, some of the persecutions that he had suffered. But that's when he goes through all that, but then he gets down, but he says, but that's not what I want to talk about. That's not the things that I glory in even. I glory in my infirmities. And then he goes on to speak about to really fill out this picture of the infirmities and why they're there, and why our weaknesses are there. And that's kind of what I want to talk about this morning. I want us to understand that we have weaknesses in our life, in our body, physical weaknesses, spiritual weaknesses, emotional weaknesses, whatever it might be that you see as a weakness in you, that we might perceive as hindering our ability to serve God, our ability to be the Christian that we want to be, whatever it is. Paul is going to talk about the reason that he has a weakness. And so he begins, he says, well, as a matter of fact, I knew a person, and he's talking about himself, but he's doing it, so he's relating this story in the most humble way possible, because the fact that he was had such a great spiritual experience that he's about to relate here was not his point. He wasn't trying to brag on the fact that he had this great spiritual experience, but he had to mention that he had it, because that's integral to the story about his weakness. And so he says, well, I knew a man once that above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knows. He said, essentially, I had this experience 14 years ago. He said, I don't know whether I was in my body or out of my body. I couldn't even tell you. He said, but I was carried up to the third heaven. He said, I had this great mountaintop experience with God, to the point that I was carried to the third heaven, and I saw things things that it's not even lawful to speak. He said, God revealed things to me that I can't even speak of. Now, whether he meant that he wasn't allowed to speak of them or that they were beyond his ability to even put into words, and that's kind of what I think he meant, but maybe you think he meant that it was unlawful. Doesn't matter. The point is, what he saw was far beyond that which he could or would be able to convey to other people. God had given him this insight and this great spiritual experience, he says, 14 years ago. And so that's important. Again, he's not bragging on this fact, but he's using this to show why the weakness. Why the weakness? He said, in the seventh verse, but lest I should be exalted above measure. He said, listen, I had an experience that I know other people didn't have, but pride is always there ready to get us, isn't it? It's always there ready to get us. And Paul was no different than you and me like that. What was the downfall of Satan? It was pride, wasn't it? He was the most beautiful of the angels, it says. And he, God gave him an exalted position, but he wasn't satisfied with that. He wanted to have, he didn't want to, even God to be above him. It was pride that was the devil's undoing. And pride has been the undoing of many men and women throughout the centuries, and it's been the undoing of many a Christian, I'm sad to say. And so it's always there. Paul recognized it, and it was spiritual pride that he recognized that God was trying to help him with. He said, but lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation that was given to me, a thorn in my side. And here is the famous thorn in Paul's side. He said, but I want us to understand what he's talking about. He is talking about a weakness. Now, whatever that thorn is, commentators down through the centuries have there's as many opinions on that as there is people that have written about it, what his thorn was. And it doesn't really matter whatever it is. I think as I was reading and studying on this, it was C.H. Spurgeon that said, commenting on this and on all the many opinions, he said, it seems like most people have projected the thorn, have believed the thorn in Paul's side to be that thing which is pierced most deeply into their own bosom. And I would say that's probably true. Whatever that you or I might think the thorn in Paul's side is probably close, probably says more about us than about Paul and what our own personal struggle is. But whatever it was such that it was given to Paul as a weakness, and it caused him humility. Now, I tend to think that it was something that had to do with some physical pain. It was a sickness or a physical limitation is what I think that it was. Maybe it wasn't, but at any rate, it was something that he prayed about. And so we want to see, first of all, that he says about this thorn, that Satan buffeted him. God allowed Satan, he gave him a little bit of space to go after Paul, just like he did to Job. So Paul recognizes on the one hand that it came from God, but nonetheless, the thing, the result of it, the weakness itself was nothing less than the buffeting of Satan. And that word buffeting means like blows, like Satan was beating up on him. That's what this thorn felt like to him, but he also understood that it was given by God. It was a way of God helping him to guard against pride, because he relates the thorn. That's what I want us to see. The thorn is a direct result of this great spiritual experience that he had, and so recognizes that he was allowed and privileged to see things and know things that maybe nobody else had seen and known, but that God, knowing that he was just a man, had blessed him. And that's what this comes out to be, is a blessed him with this thorn, that it might prevent him from becoming prideful, that it would keep him from being exalted too high. And so we want to see that the thorn was given, the weakness was a method of instruction. The weakness is a method of instruction for Paul here. But nonetheless, there was more instruction to have. And that's really the process we want to talk about some, is the further instruction of Paul through this weakness that he had, this thorn in his side. And I want each and every one of us to think about our own thorn or thorns that we have in our side. The things that we would get rid of. Maybe it's a physical ailment. Maybe it's a mental ailment. Maybe it's a temptation to sin that is always ever present. Whatever it might be that we can think of as our own thorn in our side. And let's look at what Paul did. He recognized that this thing was a hindrance to him, whether it was a spiritual thorn or a physical thorn, whether it was sickness, whether it was whatever it was a hindrance to him, to the point that he wanted rid of it. He prayed. He prayed. Whatever your ailment is today, the first thing to do is to take it to God in prayer. He didn't take it to a self-help group. He didn't take it to anything else or anybody else in this world. He took it to God. Now, he knew that God could take this thing away. Paul himself had been given the power to work miracles. It says over in Acts that people were healed from sickness and blindness and lameness just by touching a handkerchief that Paul had touched. I mean, there was so much power of the Holy Spirit coursing through him and through many of those first generation apostles. So Paul knew without a doubt that God could just snap his fingers and take this thing away, whatever it was, and he prayed to that end. But I want us to understand, number one, that he didn't pray just once. He says he prayed thrice. Now, does that mean he just prayed three times? No, that was a Hebrewism, a way of Jewish idiom, meaning that he prayed without ceasing. Three times just means he didn't do three and then end. It means he prayed over and over and several times about it. There's people out there that maybe have said that, well, you know, if you pray more than once about something, then you didn't really have faith that God was going to take care of it. Well, I think Apostle Paul would differ with that, because he prayed over and over again. The first time, apparently, God didn't take it away, and he prayed again, and he prayed again, and he kept praying about this thing, but eventually he got an answer. And that's what I want us to see, is that prayer, praying without ceasing, praying serious about something, will get an answer from God, but sometimes it's not the answer that we desire. Sometimes it's not the answer that we think is good for us. Our background scripture for our Sunday school lesson today was Romans 8 and 28, and we know that all things work to the good of them that love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. And so God will answer our prayers, but not necessarily the way that we would like Him to. Paul wanted this weakness taken away. And if you've got a weakness in your life, again, whether it's a spiritual weakness, an emotional weakness, a physical limitation, disease, whatever it might be, and you've prayed to God about it, just like Paul, he wanted it taken away. He said, God, I could serve you better if I didn't have to deal with this thing. If I didn't have Satan buffeting me with this thorn in my side, I could serve you better. I'm sure that's what he thought. And many of us believe that about our own weakness. We look at it objectively and we say, if I didn't have this weakness besetting me each and every day, I could serve God better. I could be a better Christian. I could do more work for Him, whatever it might be. And Paul prayed to that end. But what did God say? What was the answer? Well, it wasn't what he wanted to hear. It wasn't what he wanted, but it was what he needed. It was what he needed. God will give to us what we need, not necessarily what we want. Is that what we're praying about? Are we praying for our wants, or are we praying for our needs? I like what it says over, I think it's in the Psalms, it might be in Proverbs, where he says, God, give to me the things that are good for me. See, he said, I don't even know what's good for me, God. I might think I know what's good for me, but you really know what's good for me. Give me the things that are good for me. That was the answer to Paul's prayer here, is not what he wanted, which was to be rid of the thorn, to be rid of the weakness, but it was what he needed. And Jesus said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, Paul's beginning to learn something a little bit more here. Now, remember, this has happened. He said, as he's relating this story, he said this all happened 14 years ago. So he's on the backside of having learned this. He's relating to them all the lessons that he's learned. He said, so I prayed about it. He said, I knew. Now, here's the thing. I believe that when he first got this thorn, now whatever this thorn was, it seems to have appeared in relation to this experience that he had. Because I don't think it was something that he had before, because the way he tells the story, it seems like this great spiritual experience happened to him, and then the thorn came, whatever it was. And he put it together. He said, the thorn came to keep me from spiritual pride. But you know, many of us, when we learn a lesson like that, then we'd like to think, well, I learned the lesson, and now we can take the pain away. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the lesson. I'll remember that. And now, if we could just take the pain away, that would be really good. And I think Paul was maybe in that situation. And the thorn in his side, when it appeared, whatever it was, he recognized it. This is God reminding me that I'm just a human. I'm just a man. I'm weak. I'm frail. That's a good lesson to learn. I'm going to put that in my pocket. And I'll remember that, and I won't be lifted up with pride. I'm sure he really believed that. And then he went and he said, now, Lord, if we can just get rid of this now, I've learned my lesson. And so if we could get rid of this, that would be great. But what did God tell him? He said, my strength, my grace is revealed in your weakness. My grace is sufficient for thee. Grace is sufficient. And so he kept it. Now, I want us to think about that. Discipline. Discipline. Now, we think of discipline as kind of a sharp single thing that happens. We discipline our child. It's meant for instruction, but kind of it happens, and then we move past it. But discipline is really a way of life, isn't it? Discipline. If you live a disciplined life, we have to discipline ourselves. I'll use the example that most of us are old enough to have to deal with. We get to a certain point where we have to discipline ourselves when we sit down to the dinner table, don't we? We can't have as many desserts as we had when we were 14 or 15 or 20 even, right? So we have to exercise a little bit of discipline. You know, there was a time I could eat as many donuts as I wanted. I could eat as much ice cream as I wanted. And it didn't matter. I didn't have to discipline myself at all. But then you get to a point where you have to exercise some discipline. It becomes a way of life. You need that. What I'm trying to get to here is discipline. Is oftentimes a constant and ever-present, unrelenting pressure. That's a disciplined life. You know, I spent 20 years in the Marine Corps. I lived a life of discipline. It was many of the things that I had to do and the way that I had to formulate my life in the Marine Corps was because of a constant, ever-present pressure that was applied. And so it's not one, hey, don't do that, or hey, do this, and then it's over. But real discipline is it's ever present. It's always there. And that's the way this thorn in Paul's side was. That's the way. That's why God left it there. That weakness was ever present as a form of continuing discipline. Every day he had to deal with this thorn, whatever it was, which meant every day he had to await more grace from God. God didn't take it away, and then Paul came and just when he thought he was running out, asked for more grace. Every day that the discipline of that thorn was pressing in upon him, reminding him that he was weak, reminding him that he needed God. And so it was the weakness that drove him to submit to God each and every day. It was the weakness, it was the thorn that forced him to look not at himself for strength, but look to God for strength. And he realized that to be the blessing that it was. Yes, it was a weakness, but it was a form of discipline coming from God for his good, pushing him towards submitting more, praying more, and relying upon God more and not himself. And he related that back to the thorn. He said, the thorn is why God kept me with that weakness, because it was for my good. And that's why he said, and so I'll glory in it. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Not really I, but then Christ is strong in me. And so The discipline is a constant, ever-present, unrelenting. What's important to recognize here, and this is where we've got to change our mindset, and this is what Paul was changing his mindset about, trying to get them about weakness. He said, I look at my weakness, the weakness that I have, weaknesses, whatever they are, whatever they were. He said, these are not punishments from God. And they're not even trials from God. You know, a trial is a testing, and it has an ending point. He said it's not so it's not a punishment, and it's not even a trial. What it is a gift. His weakness was a gift. I believe that that's the way he looked at it. That's why he said that I can glory in it. I have therefore I take pleasure. He said, I take pleasure. Now, can you imagine that? He said, I take pleasure in my infirmities. Now, I don't think he was just using a manner of speaking, and I don't think he was just saying what he thought sounded good. He said, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. He said, I take pleasure in the times that I am weak. I take pleasure in the weaknesses that I have. Why? Why? Because it was a gift. Why was it a gift? How was it a gift? His weakness was the stage upon which God's grace played out for the world to see. That's what Paul recognized about himself. That's why he says in another place about the gospel. He says, you know, God, he didn't call many wise or many noble, but he called the foolish and the base and the common of this world. And God could have imparted the knowledge of the gospel. He could have spread the gospel in a lot of different ways, but he says he chose the foolishness of preaching. He chose the weak things. God chose weak vessels. He chose weak men like me and like other preachers to declare the gospel because in our weakness, in our infirmity, God can write his grace in big bold letters. The best way to get how do we write? You know, normally black ink or black letters on a white paper, right? Exact opposites, right? That black ink, if it was on a black paper, it wouldn't stick out. If it was on dark blue paper, it wouldn't stick out very well. But you contrast it with that white paper, and it just really sticks out. When you take the strength and the glory and the grace of Christ and put it on the backdrop of a weak human being, it just really sticks out, doesn't it? It shows forth what it is. And that's what Paul said he recognized about his own weaknesses and infirmities. He said, they're a gift. I glory in them. I'm happy for them because they give a stage. They give an opportunity for the grace of Jesus Christ to show out into the world. Is that the way that we can get to view in our own weaknesses? That's the way we need to. Christ's strength is made perfect. He said perfect in infirmities. Infirmities covers a lot of things: body, mind, spirit. We can have a lot of infirmities, but he said, I take pleasure in infirmities. All of us, as we get older and this body begins to break down, we'll become physically infirm. Are we going to be able to take pleasure in it? Are we going to be able to take pleasure in the way that God... And this is what I want us to understand, that Paul saw it this way, that this is an opportunity for God to write His grace all over our lives, for the world to see. You know, I was privileged to... at the minister school one year, I guess this has been maybe 5-6 years ago, there was a young man that did the young preacher that did the devotional on the first day of the minister school, that Wednesday. Michael Carter, he's got a father that's a preacher and an uncle that's a preacher, two uncles that are preachers. And Michael suffers from some kind of a disease that basically, he explained it, it's almost like he's drunk all the time. He can't stand up straight. He had a working dog with him. Has a hard time formulating speech. Just really physically very infirm. But through that infirmity, that difficulty speaking even and standing, he got up and had a 15 or 20 minute devotion that God was in it in such a powerful way. I don't think, it was 130 preachers in there. I don't think there was a dry eye. And it set the tone. That minister school was just on fire that whole year. It seemed like God was there in a mighty way. And it all started with that young man. But it would not, the words that he spoke, the text that he took, he was well studied. But the power that was there was in God so obviously working through his weakness, his willingness to be used in all of his own physical infirmities to stand up, knowing the physical limitations that he had, but yet doing it for the glory of God, and God using his weakness to just write grace in a mighty way that touched everybody in that house. That's the way that God can use even that physical infirmity, the thing that we wished we didn't have, or that we wish we could just be stronger than like we used to be, or whatever it is. God can take it if we'll let Him, and He can use it in a powerful way for His honor and for His glory. That's what Paul said about infirmities. Not just infirmities of the body, but perhaps of the mind. I don't know what different people suffer from. There's infirmities of spirit. Some people believe that Paul's thorn in his side was some temptation to some sin. I don't know, but don't many of us suffer from those things? Do you suffer from spiritual infirmity? Do you have some sin that easily besets you? Now, giving in to sin. Now, God, I want us to get this right. When I'm talking about glory and weakness, I'm not talking about in the weakness of giving in to sin. Paul deals with that in another place. He says, what? Should we sin more that grace may abound? God forbid. No, we don't sin that grace may abound. That's not the kind of weakness we're talking about. We're not talking about giving place to sin and going out there and sinning, but we all suffer from those things. And perhaps you have a sin that easily besets you or tempts you or get in, and the devil can just beat you up with it all the time. Listen, that can be used for God's glory. God can write His grace upon that in your life. It can be a way that He can show you His love. Because every time then that He delivers you from that in a mighty way, you know that it is the hand of God in your life. And that can be used to glorify Him, to show grace out to the world. No matter what the infirmity is, the weakness, it can be used for God's glory. Again, it provides a stage upon which God plays out His love and His grace for the whole world to see. And therefore, we should glory in those weaknesses. Paul goes on to talk about reproaches. Those are things from without. When people are down on us for whatever reason, and he had reproaches. He was reproached even by other Christians and by some that he called brothers, but he looked at that. Sure, that was a thorn in his side. Yes, that was a weakness. Many of us, depending on our kind of our own personal makeup. Some of us feel that some people, the greatest battles we fight are within. Others, the greatest battles we fight are without. Some we see, we believe that people are hurting us or whatever it might be. And a lot of that is, how we perceive the world. But regardless of whether that weakness is from within you or coming from without you, that's what he's talking about. He talks about weaknesses that are his own. He's talking about reproaches. Things, I've done nothing and people are reproaching me. He said, but I'll glory in it because it's a weakness that God can use, that Christ can use. He talks about necessities. Poverty. He lived many times in poverty. He was in need of clothing. He was in need of food. He was in need to be sustained. He said, I know what it's like to be hungry. I know what it's like to be naked and cold and tired. He suffered through those things, but he, again, looked at those things as a way that God could pour out His grace upon him, that God could provide for him. He didn't look at it as a disadvantage, but as a weakness that could be used for the glory of God. Do we look at our necessities, the things that we need in this life, the times that we feel like, whatever it might be that, loss of job, loss of financial security, or whatever those things, or we're suffering through necessities in this life, things that we have to have, and we're not, maybe things aren't lining up the way that we want them to. Is that a weakness that we can look at as a chance for the strength of Jesus Christ to be manifest, to become perfected in us and before the world? Those are all, that's the way Paul looked at those things. Persecutions. He was persecuted. He was persecuted. There may come a time when we're persecuted, but he said it's a. He said I wouldn't have it any other way. Essentially, it's a. What did he say? This is all on the list of things that he took pleasure in. He took pleasure even in persecution. I don't think he took pleasure in a hey, look what I've endured kind of way. But he realized that when he was delivered from those things, when he was delivered from persecution, when he miraculously was let down and escaped through the basket, he was stoned and left for dead, but God revived him. Three times he was whipped, 39 lashes by the Jews. He suffered and came out the other end of all of those things, not because of his own personal strength, not because he was some great and mighty person or great warrior or any of those things, but because God poured out His grace upon him, and he can pick himself up and say, I came through those persecutions not because of my strength, but because of the strength of Jesus Christ, and therefore I can glory in those things. I can glory in my weakness that I was persecuted, that I almost died, but God didn't let me die. God came through. God poured out His grace upon me. Distresses. Oh, we all suffer distresses, don't we? There's physical distresses, but then there's emotional distresses. Probably, if there's anything that our generation, and I'm talking generation in the broad sense of everybody that's alive today, as opposed to those that have passed on, those of us that live in this world today, is it not emotional distresses that seem to be the most prevalent for us? Most of us don't suffer necessities the way that Paul did. We don't worry about where our next meal's coming from. We don't worry about having a roof over our head or being clothed. For the most part, those things have been taken care of. Many of the things that we're not suffering physical persecution the way that many that have gone before us have. But boy, we suffer distresses, don't we? Emotional and spiritual distresses. It's got us as God's people all balled up. It's got this whole world messed up. These inner distresses that we have. And maybe you have some that are besetting you, but I want you to look at those weaknesses the way that Paul is looking at them. Not as something to be alleviated from. Why am I suffering from this, God? Paul could have just kept every day, God, why do I still have this thorn in my side? Why do I still have this thorn in my side? Why do I have to keep suffering this? But he was content in what Jesus told him, that my grace is sufficient for you. Each and every day, I'll give you the grace to get through. Each and every day, that doesn't mean I'll take it away, but I'll give you the strength to make it through one more day. And every day that we get through one more of the distresses that we suffer through, whatever your personal weakness is, I want you to look at it as a way that God can display His grace in your life. That doesn't mean that we don't pray for better times, but understand that God has given us great gifts, and not every gift is something that we're going to clap about and we might think of as a gift. But this thorn, this weakness that Paul had, he looked at it as a gift. Whatever our own personal weaknesses are, whatever they are in your life, I want you to think, I believe Paul wants us, all of us, to take those and look at them and say, this is a way that God is instructing me. Maybe it's a way to keep me from being puffed up in pride. Maybe it's a way to keep me on my knees because every day I have to deal with this sin or this emotional turmoil or whatever. And so every day it forces me into my prayer closet. Every day it forces me, if I didn't have this thing hovering over me, then I might forget to pray for a day or two or a week. And so thank you, Lord, that I have this weakness because it draws me closer to you. It gives you an opportunity to pour out your love upon me. It gives me an opportunity to stand up in church and say, God got me through another day. He got me through another week. He provided for me in another way. Once again, God comes through, and upon my weakness, He wrote His grace yet again. Do we look at those things in our lives that way, rather than just praying and wishing them to be gone? Look, we'd all love to be 10 foot tall and bulletproof, but we wouldn't be very much good to God if we were that way, would we? Let's look. That's just the way that we are. If we were 10 foot tall and bulletproof, we'd think we didn't need God. But we sure do need Him, don't we? And that's what Paul began to understand. He understood that God had made him great and mighty in many ways. And he sure was. But he had some weaknesses in some other areas, and that was to balance it out, to keep him on his knees, to keep him before God, and so that men wouldn't just see the greatness of Paul's intellect, the greatness of Paul's ability to craft an argument and paint a wonderful picture for the Lord, but they would see that Paul wasn't a very good public speaker, if that was true. And he had this other weakness, this other one, and really, when you put it all together, Paul had a lot of chinks in his armor, but praise God, God was blessing him anyway. That's the way Paul would present himself. If Paul was telling you about who he was, he wouldn't tell you about all the great things that he perceived of himself or the others. He would say, let me tell you about this weakness that beset me day in and day out, but every day God gave me grace to get through it. Every day God provided for me. Every day God lifted me up. Almighty God, thank you, Jesus, for everything that you did. That's what I want you to see. That's what Paul would say. Is that what we say about the weaknesses in our own life, whatever it might be? I want to get to that point. I'm guilty. I'm guilty of just wanting them all to be away. I'm guilty of wanting to be, you know, so many times I think, Lord, if I just didn't have this or this weakness and that, I could be a better preacher. I could be a better pastor. And surely that's true. I could be all those things. And I pray to be those things. But it's not going to come from God taking away my weaknesses. It's going to come from me submitting to them and realizing that those are the weaknesses are the occasion for me to draw strength from God and not from myself. That through those things, He will show grace to me and most importantly to the world. That the backdrop will always be and should always be this weak flesh of mine with God written over top of it. Grace written over top of it. Christ Jesus and His strength written over top of it. But to do that, my weakness has to stand. And your weakness has to stand so that God can write His grace over top of it. I'll leave you again with what he says in the 10th verse. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And really, he's talking about Christ's strength. When we are weak is when Christ's strength is made perfect in us. Amen. When we're weak, Christ's strength is made perfect. It's my prayer that Christ's strength would be made perfect. I don't want to have weaknesses in this life. And I know you don't either. But God's not going to take them away just because He can. Because there's instruction there for us. There's a reason. And you don't have the weaknesses necessarily because God's punishing you. Or that it's a trial or a test. It's there as a constant companion. Perhaps the way that Paul's thorn was a constant companion till the end of his days. But he still looked at it as a blessing because it was an occasion for God's grace. Let's look at our weaknesses that way. As a companion. Which provides occasion for God's grace every day in our life. And let us show forth to the world the perfection of Christ's strength through us. Let God write grace over our weaknesses to the world. That's my message this morning. I hope that it made sense. I hope that God made some sense of it for you, and that it can be of some benefit. Brother Dyer, if we can get a song.